Good morning, friends. Now I know why the 8:30 service was so full. Johannes clever. He plans me for the Sunday with the World Cup semi-final. It's a privilege to be with you. And I want us to listen to God's word as it comes to us in the Old Testament book of Micah. I'm going to be reading from chapter 6, and I invite you to listen very carefully for God's word to you today. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so we thank God so much for those words. We pray that through those words, God may speak a very personal word to each one of us today. I want to begin today by making a suggestion. And I'd like to invite you, if I may, to think through this suggestion with me as thoughtfully as you can, as carefully, as critically. I want to suggest that each one of us comes into this world with a longing. Hidden within your heart and in my heart, there is a very, very deep longing. It is a longing that distinguishes us from the animal world. It is a longing that makes us human beings. Your dog, your cat does not have this longing. It is a longing that when we express this longing, it connects us very deeply with the human family, with all of God's children. It's a longing that reminds us that we are created in the image of God. We are image bearers, you and I. And you may be saying to me now, Trevor, get to the point quickly. What is this longing? It's a longing to put wrong things right. It's a longing to leave this world a better place. It's the longing to really do good with this one precious life that we've got. In a nutshell, let me give you a biblical word. It is a longing for justice. And we come into this world with this longing in our hearts. Have you ever watched young children? Often this longing gets expressed by them. Debbie and I have got two children, very proud parents. They're 2 years apart. And I can still remember when they were young, growing up, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age. And I remember that if I did anything for one of the children and not for the other, I could be pretty sure that that child would come to me and say these words, "Daddy, you are not being fair." It's a longing for justice. And we've all got it. And tragically, as we grow up, as we move beyond childhood, as we grow our careers, as we form our families, as we make our way in the world, somehow that longing gets buried. Gets buried underneath our self-interest, our self-centeredness, our greed. It gets buried underneath our fear, our anger, our hatred. It gets buried sometimes just under our tiredness and exhaustion and fatigue that we feel as we go through life. I was talking just the other day to a single mother of 3 children. She was just saying to me, "Trevor, it takes all my energy just to get these kids to preschool, get myself to work, get home, make supper. I've got energy for nothing else." I understand. All I do know is that when we bury this longing, when we fail to express this longing, we lose out on the life that God wants to give us. And it's against this background today that I have a simple prayer. I've been praying for the last few days that God will reawaken this longing in our lives, in your heart and in my heart. Especially if it's got buried. This is what Micah the prophet was wanting to do. I don't know what you know about Micah, one of the great Old Testament prophets. He was a country boy. He grew up in a little rural village about 20 k's just outside of Jerusalem. And as he grew up, he must have looked around and he must have just seen things that were wrong. Read the first 5 chapters of Micah. He sees corrupt leadership. He sees people who have not got access to healing. He sees occultic practices and idolatry. He sees people who are deeply vulnerable and poor. And then in the 6th chapter, Micah speaks to the nation. And he says, and I want us again to look at the words very, very carefully. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And these words I've been wrestling with for the past week. And as I've wrestled with them, prayed over them, there are just a few reflections that I'd love to share with you. And as I share them with you, I'm praying that somehow you will have a sense just of God speaking a personal word to you in your life today. You know, when I reflect on these words, and I want you to look at them again carefully, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These words draw us, they draw us into the heart of God. Can you feel God's heart as you read those words? That God certainly has a love for every human being on this earth. However, God has a special place in God's heart for the most vulnerable, for the most vulnerable. You see this in the life of Jesus. I often say to you, and you are tired of me saying this to you, but if we want to know what God is like, we look in the direction of Jesus. Jesus reveals God's heart. And when you look at Jesus' life throughout the Gospels, he's always with those who are vulnerable. The sick, those who are oppressed by evil, children, the hungry, the poor. It's where Jesus hangs out. And he reminds us that his Father has a love for every human being. And in that love, there is a special place for the most vulnerable. Here is an illustration. I hope it makes sense. Think of a mother. She's got four children. And one day she's having coffee with a friend. And her friend says to her, "Which of your four children do you love the most?" And the mother says, "I love all my children the same." But the friend persists. "Come on, there must be one child that you really love the most." The mother says, "I love all my children the same." The friend persists. No. There must be one child that you love more than the others. And then the mother says, "Okay, when one of my children is going through a tough time, when one of my children has been unfairly treated, when one of my children is suffering, my heart goes out to that child. Otherwise, I love them all the same." God has a special place in God's heart for the vulnerable. For those particularly who've been on the receiving end of unfairness and injustice. And some of you sitting here are in that place right now. That you have been through a time and you've been on the receiving end of something which has not been fair. And I want to say to you today, that in a special way, God reaches out to you. But come back with me to these words. Not only do these words draw us into God's heart, they also, notice this, they also reveal to us God's general will for our lives. Often people will come to me, we'll have a conversation, and they will say something like this to me, "Trevor, how do I discover God's personal will for my one life while I'm on earth?" And all I can say is that we discover God's personal will for our life when we take God's general will seriously. This is what God wants for you and for me. God wants me to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. This is God's will for my life. And it's when I take God's general will for my life that I put myself in a position to discover what God wants for my life personally. Did you notice, or do you notice, how three things hang together and we must never separate them? Justice, mercy, and humility. And they hang together. Justice without mercy, without humility, it becomes self-righteous. Mercy without justice and humility becomes soft, sentimental, charity. Humility without justice and mercy becomes self-centered, self-serving. Somehow to hold these three together in our lives. Can I ask you a question? I wonder if you know someone, whether you know someone in your circle, your family, your friends, your acquaintances, do you know someone who holds these three things together? Who is an example for you of Micah chapter 6, verse 8? Sometimes God gives us people to give us an idea of what it looks like. I think one person that God gave me, I worked with him for 3 years in the center of Johannesburg in the late 70s and the early 80s. A wonderful man by the name of Peter Story. And he's just written a book, nonfiction, called I Beg to Differ. It's one of the top 20 books at the moment in South Africa, written by South African authors. And I worked alongside Peter for 3 years, and he held these things together. He had a very keen sense of justice. He took on the authorities of that day. He spoke out against any law that was dehumanizing. I notice now, even though he's in his 80s, he's just sent a letter to the president asking the president to act now in terms of corruption. I remember we created the first restaurant in South Africa where everyone could eat together in the basement of our church. We called it the People Center. But he also had mercy. He had mercy for the individuals that he met every day. I can still remember being on the top of Tolman Towers in Pritchard Street for over 13 hours one day, begging a young man not to jump to his death. And I remember how we got closer and closer and closer to him as he sat on the ledge, and then we reached out to him. And every Christmas day, Peter and Elizabeth would open their home to anyone who didn't have a home, and they would say, come and have Christmas with us. Mercy. It rubbed off on Debbie and I, and we did it for the first few years of our marriage. Christmas Day, anyone could come, until our kids protested and said, it's not fair, we can only open our presents when everyone goes home at 7 o'clock at night. And Peter was humble. He knew he was a sinner, he knew that he needed grace and mercy. Who holds these three things together for you? Do you know anyone? Can you let God speak to you through their example today? But I want to say one more thing. When I read these words, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God, they're a challenge. They're a challenge. And they challenge us to start walking in this way now. This is a daily way of life. And we can start in our families. Sometimes family life, there's a lot of injustice there, have you noticed? Only one person picks up all the dog poo. Maybe the tasks that are not nice need to be shared amongst the family more faithfully, more fairly. Does everyone in the family have access to the finances of that family? Sometimes families can become very unfair places. What does it mean to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in my family, in my family? With our friends, with our colleagues, with our acquaintances, what does it mean to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly? One of my friends, friend to Debbie and myself, he's turning 40 in 2 weeks' time. He's having a big bash. He's invited us. I've watched him grow up since he was about 20, 25 years of age. He's a follower of Christ. And I got a text this week from him. And he sent it to all the people who come into the party. He said, you know, I'm 40 years of age. I've got everything I need. I don't need anything else. But I know a five-year medical student in Stellenbosch. She's battling to pay off her student loan. And I just want to suggest that everyone who's coming to the party, if you're going to give me a gift, can you rather, here are her details, can you rather help her pay off her student debt? Because South Africa needs doctors. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. I don't know what career you have. I don't know what your profession is. An accountant, a doctor, a teacher, an IT specialist, engineer, psychologist, social worker. I don't know. Can I ask, how can I, in my vocation, take the vulnerable seriously? How can I do that? I have a friend in Durban. His name is Stephen. He's a doctor. 3.5 days a week he's in private practice, and 1.5 days a week he's on the streets. He's on the streets in Durban, making health care available. Let me end. There's a longing inside your heart. God has put that longing there. It is a longing to make things right, to leave this world just a little bit of a better place, to do good. We can sum up that longing in one word. It's a longing to do justice. And I'm praying that today, somehow, through the prophet Micah, that God has reawakened that longing within us. Because when we do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God, we enter into the abundant life, the purposeful life, the joyful life that God wants us to live. Let's pray together. Dear God, we always struggle to find words to share what's on your heart for our lives and for our families and communities and country. And we want to listen to your word today as it comes to us through Micah. And we ask that your word may stir us up, may stir up this longing in a new way. Lord Jesus, we need your courage, we need your help, we need your guidance, we need your leadership in our lives as we seek to walk in the pathway of Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Please help us. Give us guidance, give us courage, and empower us, Lord. This is our prayer that we offer to you with all the love and longing of our hearts. And together, as God's people, we say, Amen. And may the joy of Christ be with you. God bless you, friends. Take care. Bless you. Thank you for being here.